Natural Cream Oil Hair Tonic, the non-alcoholic hair tonic that contains lanolin. Wild Root Cream Oil.
Sam Spade Detective Agency.
Quote the Raven, nevermore.
Yes.
This is me.
Is this Mr. Spade?
Yes, but is this Miss Perrine?
Well, yes, but...
Why are you eating a peanut butter sandwich at this time of night?
Why the allusion to Poe's Raven? Was your assignment among the literati?
It certainly was. There was Rowena from Ivanhoe, a lost Lenora, a no-place Ralph, and a Boris from the Karloff of the same name.
Oh, how distinguished.
Have you got a cold, Ev?
No.
Well, then there was a carnivorous plant, a hideous meat-eating specimen of the botanical world, trying to take two fingers off me.
Well, I've got three fingers. I'll pour it out to you here.
Ah, pretty hip. I can see you intend to be terribly amusing tonight. But even so, I intend to come right down and dictate my report on a stopped watch caper, or time stood still.
Dashiell Hammett, America's leading detective fiction writer and creator of Sam Spade, the hard-boiled private eye, and William Spear, radio's outstanding producer-director of mystery and crime drama, join their talents to make your hair stand on end with the adventures of Sam Spade. Presented by the makers of Wild Root Cream Oil for the hair. Well, in a few weeks, many of us will be going bareheaded now and then, meaning we'll have to pay more attention than ever to the appearance of the greatest private detective of them all, in the adventures of Sam Spade.
Hello, Sam. That's a mighty sharp routine you give a Perrine on the phone.
Where's Effie? Who are you?
Sam, don't you remember me? Buffy!
Certainly not. I never saw... Buffy, wait a minute. Do I sense a certain family resemblance? No, you can't be Effie's little sister, Buffy.
Yes.
Big girl now.
But thanks anyway for the tinker toys you sent me last Christmas.
I killed myself.
I intend to start having children of my own just as soon as it's practical.
Hmm. Where's F, Buff?
She had to go to L.A. to visit a sick friend.
A likely story.
No, really.
Chapter and verse, please.
St. Joseph's Hospital in Burbank. They went to school together, and her name is Louise Tuttle. She's an actress.
Yes, I know. A very fine actress. Is it serious?
I hope not, for Effie's sake. They're very close.
Yeah. Well, what now? You take shorthand, Buck?
Sort of.
Spoken like a true Perrine. Come on in.
Well, I hope it's good and gruesome.
I take it back.
I want the caper, not what you're drinking.
Okay, Buff, you win. Ready?
Why not?
Date April 10, 1949, to Deputy Sheriff Bill Whittington, Marin County Sheriff's Office, San Rafael, California, from Samuel Spade, license number...
37596.
Oh, steady listener. Subject, the stopped watch caper. Dear Bill, here's how it turned out, and if I ever phone you for advice again, I'll take it, because you were right. She was loaded.
Threatening letters, Sam. Don't give another thought. Old Lady Raven has had me up there a dozen times in the last 6 weeks. She got threatening letters, she got prowlers, but when I got there, she can't find the letters, and the way that house is tucked away in the woods, I don't think a prowler could find it.
How do I find it, Bill?
Huh? By the Gray Line bus goes right by the gate. Mount Tama Ballard Road, about 3 miles this side of Rock Spring.
Well, that sounds pretty rugged. You, say she's a crank.
But she's got money, Sam.
Oh, the poor old soul.
And she got a niece.
Oh?
Yeah. Over 23, but she's stacked.
The old lady's loaded, the niece is stacked. Who else lives there?
Well, there's a butler. Somebody flattened his head when he was young, and he wears bangs to call attention to it. Sort of shuffles around the house. You ought to see him out in the woods chasing them old ground squirrels. Quick as a deer hound. Yeah, and
never mind, never mind. You sold me. All these marvels I have got to see. It was only 3 in the p.m. when I skulked in through the gates of Ravenswood, but it was so dark the hooty owls hadn't gone to bed yet. The fog snaked in and out through the dripping trees, long, chill ribbons of ghastly fog borne on a sobbing wind. I mushed on into the deepening gloom of the forest primeval. After 10 minutes of that, I began to wonder if there was any house there. When I saw it, I still wondered. It looked more like a fungus growth.
It is chilly, isn't it, sir? Won't you come in?
Sure, why not? Yes, I expected that.
If you'll be so kind as to wait here, sir, I'll inform Miss Rowena of your arrival.
Thank you, Jenny Stewart.
Forrest, who's out there? Is this the man with the headlock? Answer me, you brute! Where is it?
Did you say Hemlock?
Oh, you must be my aunt's detective. Spade, was it?
It is, right.
I'm Ralph Raven. Come along with me, Spade. I have something interesting to show you.
Ralph Raven was the one member of the household you hadn't described to me, and no wonder. The wasted figure that looked up at me from the wheelchair was more like a ghost than a man. His face was chalk white. So white it seemed almost luminous, and the skin clung so close to his skull there seemed to be no flesh beneath it. His wide, staring eyes looked like 2 cups of black coffee on a snow-white tablecloth. I followed him into a glass-enclosed room only slightly larger than the garden court of the plaza. The humidity was several points higher than the dripping woods, and the temperature was several degrees lower. But the plants he had growing there seemed to thrive on. As I edged nervously through the dense, quivering foliage, I noticed a strange-looking yellow-green pod about the size of a milk bottle at the end of a long, tubular stem. It leaned over, opened its red mouth, and said, "Hey, what is that thing?"
"Oh, that's my Farinsenia gigantosa. Meat eater. Carnivorous plant. Don't be frightened. I just heard it."
Don't tell me.
"You know what it eats?"
Acts like it needs a dose of bicarb."
"No, perfectly healthy. Merely part of the digestive process. Even as you and I."
"Not me."
"But over here, you're a detective. These plants should interest you." "Oh, don't touch that mandrake."
"Never thought of it."
"It won't cry out. No vocal cord."
"Oh, I see."
"It's very sensitive."
"Oh, sensitive."
"And deadly poison."
"Oh."
"And see here, these pretty purple blossoms?"
"Yes, very pretty."
"Source of an alkaloid poison favored by the Borgias. And these, white hellebore."
"Watch your language."
"I use it in compounding veratria, a poison so ancient it would probably go undetected in the police laboratories of today."
"Mm-hmm."
"And here's a charming one. Both a killer and a medicine. Belladonna, or deadly nightshade, source of atropine."
"Mm-hmm."
"And this, commonly known as Nux vomica."
"Well."
"Produces not one but 2 deadly poisons. The well-known strychnine and the rare and not easily detectable brucine."
"Yeah, well, it's quite a hobby, Mr. Raven."
"Well, it's not a mere hobby, Mr. Spade. It's a practical science. All the plants in this conservatory have their fatal properties, and all have played a role in the great crimes of history. Did my aunt get another threatening letter?"
"So she says."
"Odd that she should fear death at her age, and odd that she should hire a bodyguard. How does she know how it'll come? It might be poison."
"Speaking of poison, brother dear, it's time for your medicine."
"Oh, Spade, my sister, the lost Lenore."
"How do you do, Mr. Spade?"
"How do you do?"
"Here, Ralph, drink up."
"Why does it always have to be in milk? And look here, it's not time anyway." "Oh, this confounded watch has stopped again. Spade, what time do you have?"
"Why, it's 3, That's funny, my watch has stopped too." I didn't know then what that meant. In fact, if you look on the last page of this report, Deputy Dear, you'll see that the stopwatch is the key to the whole puzzle. I protest that my failure to realize the significance of that moment had absolutely nothing to do with the fact that my client's niece, Lenore Raven, was, as you so roguishly put it,
back.
About there, Boris the butler bobbed up and beckoned me to the balustrade. I followed him upstairs and was ushered into the austere and regal presence of my client, Rowena Raven.
"That will be all, Boris."
"Yes, madam."
"Oh, Boris, I just remembered."
"Yes, madam."
"There on the occasional table, my watch. I want you to take it around to the watchmaker's in the morning. It's on the fritz again."
"Yes, madam."
"Mr. Spade, I must apologize for keeping you waiting."
"That's all right."
"My watch hasn't been keeping proper time ever since those threatening letters started. Would that be a clue, Mr. Spade?"
Maybe we'd better start with the letters, Mrs. Raven."
"I can't find them anywhere. I think that young man from the sheriff's office must have pinched him."
"Bill Whittington?
Oh, I'm
sure not.
Well, all the same, it's very odd that every time he comes here, he can't find me.
Well, where did you put him, Mrs. Raven?
Right there on the occasional table.
Yeah, well, Mrs. Raven, sometimes people have very vivid dreams.
Huh?
Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with their minds or anything like that.
You talk just like Dr. Slosser. That young sawbones my knee sent around looked at my sciatica. Sciatica is nothing but a pain. How can you look at it? It's a lot of bull.
Yeah. What did the letters say, Mrs. Raven?
That's why I wondered about my watch, Mr. Spade. The letters always contain some reference to time. Your time is running out. Beware when time moves slowly. Soon it may stop altogether.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. You think there could be a connection? I mean, has there someone been tampering with my watch? Repairman doesn't know what's causing it to lose.
Yeah, did he think it might have been tampered with?
No. He thought it was something in the mountain. Magnetism or something.
Well, that sounds logical.
That's
now,
a lot of hooey. I lived here 40 years and my watch never lost a minute. Something in the mountain, my eye. Something in this house, more like, or somebody. That's me. He's not half so sick as he pretends to be.
Your nephew?
Uh-huh. What do you think?
Well, I think he's a very sick man.
No wonder. Sitting in that damp conservatory day after day, pottering over those fiendish poisonous plants. You see the one that eats mice and hamburgers?
Yes, I did. What's supposed to be the matter with your nephew, Mrs. Raven?
Oh, it was an auto accident. Injured his neck. He had to remove part of the gland or something.
His neck?
But Dr. Slosser says he's in good condition, aside from that. And if he takes his medicine faithfully, there's no reason why he should... Come in!
Ah, Mrs. Raven, how is that pain this afternoon?
Worse, thank you. Dr. Slosser is Mr. Spade.
Ah, yes. The detective you engaged to investigate those letters you've been receiving.
Mr. Spade thinks it's an inside job. Don't you, Mr. Spade?
Well, that depends on what you mean by an inside job.
There, you see?
Inside that romantic imagination of yours, my dear lady. Hold still now while I give you your shot.
I loathe being jabbered.
Well, now. That wasn't so bad, was it?
Can I look at
it? How's Ralph getting on, Doctor?
Not well, I'm afraid. He doesn't seem to be responding to the... Mrs. Raven, what is it?
Poison. You're poisoning me.
The cry she uttered was only half as terrible as the expression on her pain-contorted face. She pitched forward in her chair with both fists clenched and shaking as if in anger at the doctor standing before her. He put down the empty hypodermic on the occasional table.
Yeah. You take care of it to the count.
Yeah, sure.
Take away that pillow. She must lie perfectly flat. There. That's better now. She's relaxed.
I'm dying. There was poison in that needle.
Please, Mrs. Raven, it was only sedative. To make you sleep.
Sleep. The time is running out.
Poor woman. Malignant condition. Only a matter of time.
Does she know?
That she has only a short time to live?
Oh, yes.
Well, I have another call. Do you have the time my watch seems to have stopped?
Another one.
I beg your pardon.
Nothing. I left my watch at home.
Oh. Then I...
Ludwig, something terrible.
Your aunt is sleeping.
You'd better come down to the conservatory right away. Ralph is in terrible pain.
What kind of pain?
He keeps saying... He's been poisoned.
What? Well, come along. Take that hypo to the kitchen door and sterilize it.
Where is it?
On the table there.
He stopped on his tracks. His mouth fell open and he gave to the tabletop where he put down the hypodermic. In his place, it appeared two items. An old-fashioned lady's watch and a note written in green ink. The note said, time must have a stop. I picked up the watch and held it to my ear. You guess it. It wasn't ticking. I had a hunch my client wasn't either. And I was right.
The makers of Wild Root Cream Oil are presenting the weekly Sunday adventure of Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, Sam Spade. Now, here's important news on good grooming. If you want the well-groomed look that helps you get ahead, socially and on the job, listen. Recently, thousands of people from coast to coast who bought Wild Root Cream Oil for the first time were asked, how does... And now, back to the stopwatch caper. Tonight's adventure with Sam Spade. Hey, wait.
Oh.
Over here.
Oh, Spade. Keep them away from me.
Ralph, I came as soon as I could. Tell me your symptoms.
No. I phoned for another doctor. He's on his way now. Spade, my aunt. Take me to her. I must tell her.
Tell her what?
I'm afraid we have some bad news for you, Ralph. Your aunt is dead.
Oh. So you poisoned her, too.
Ralph, you're sick. You don't know what you're saying. She's been to every specialist in the country. They all said the same thing.
They all said she was good for another 3 months.
My dear boy, in these cases, any doctor's guess is as bad as the next.
Oh.
Please, Ralph, you're very sick. Please let Ludwig examine you. If it's what you think, the other doctor may be too late.
Why not? Why should I fear death?
That's better. Now let me see your eyes. So. So. Open the mouth. So.
What is it? What is it?
He's right. It is poison.
You see?
You know, my dear.
Yes?
When you sterilized that needle for Ralph's shot this morning, did you pick up the wrong bottle?
Of course not.
Strange. Very strange. But don't worry, Ralph. There's a very simple antidote.
Oh, thank heaven.
You should, my dear. Indeed, you should.
And that was that, Deputy Dear. Two doctors and the county coroner took one look at my late client's medical history and decided on death due to natural causes. I didn't think so, and neither did you.
So there really were threatening letters?
I saw one.
You sure now, Sam?
Sure, I'm sure.
Where'd you say it was?
On the occasional table.
Yeah. What was you doing when it wasn't a table?
Not occasionally, occasional.
Oh, just any old table.
No, Bill, now, Phil, get this. It's real deep. An occasional table is a table that a woman picks up at a bargain and puts into a room under the mistaken impression that it may come in handy someday. Mrs. Raven used hers as a catch-all for her unanswered correspondence, threatening letters included.
And what happened to the one you saw?
I don't know. I put it right here in my coat pocket along with a watch. It just disappeared.
Well, that might be tampering with evidence.
Listen, Bill, things were disappearing from that table almost as fast as other things showed up.
Yeah, sounds like pack rat.
You follow that up, Bill. I'm going to pack up and rat out of here.
Now look, Sam.
My client's dead. It's officially okay. I haven't made a penny out of the caper, and now I'm not likely to. So do you give me a lift back to the toll gate, or do I hitchhike?
There's your answer. Come on.
When we reached the second bedroom, whence the scream had come, we found the lost Lenore looking well-found and something comfortable. She's standing center stage, regarding herself with horror in a full-length mirror. She looks awful pale, Bill. You better go downstairs and get some ice water. She might faint.
You think so?
Yeah, hurry up. I'll stay here and keep up her circulation in case anything happens.
Yeah, you're right.
Beat it.
Oh. Oh, Jim. I thought...
You thought what?
Look. Look, I found these on my pillow.
Hmm. One watch, one threatening letter. Whose watch?
Mine. I left it on the dressing table when I went in to clean my face. When I came out, somebody had slipped this under.
On the dressing table?
No, under my pillow.
You said on your pillow.
I meant under. I mean on. I don't know what I mean. What are you trying to do to me?
Just trying to get things straight.
But the note. Look at it. It's exactly the same as the one he left in my aunt's room.
Why do you say he?
Oh, I don't know. Yes, I do. It's because I don't trust Ludwig. Dr. Schlosser.
That figures. He doesn't trust you either.
But he pretended to think I might have picked up the wrong bottle. Oh, he was acting. Couldn't you see that?
You're not doing a bad job yourself.
I'm not acting, not anymore. Listen to me. Listen, he's acted strangely ever since I foolishly said I'd marry him.
I would myself.
Oh, Sam, darling, don't joke. I don't mean like that.
How did you meet him?
He got me out of a jam once. The accident. Well, my brother was hurt. I went for a doctor and he happened to be the nearest one. Well, I'd been drinking, and he took over, and he sent me home before the police arrived at the scene.
Didn't Ralph know?
He blanked out. He doesn't know to this day. Ludwig never forgot. He forced me to recommend him to my aunt. He got into her good graces, practically moved into the house. Then he pretended to make love to me.
Pretended?
He didn't care about me till he found out about my aunt didn't have long to live. He knew half the money would come to me. Sam, do you think he poisoned my aunt?
Officially, she died from natural causes.
But you said she spoke about being poisoned. And Ralph, too.
What's that medicine you give him in milk?
I don't know. It's a prescription, just some drops that come in a metal container.
Where do you keep those drops?
Here. They're in my room. I have to hide them. They make Ralph feel so much better. He used to overdose when the doctor trusted him to dose himself.
Let me see that medicine.
It's here in the cabinet. Here it is.
Don't tell me. It's empty.
There was a glass bottle inside the container.
Small but heavy. Lead yet. Hey, what are you doing with that gadget? The thing with the dials and the speedometer.
Oh, that's something medical. I have to make a test on Ralph every day to see how he's getting along.
Do you know what that actually is?
Yes, I do. It detects anemia.
Well, I wouldn't know about that, but a Geiger counter is generally used to detect something else.
Well, what are you going to do with it?
I'm going prospecting for that missing medicine.
Ah, there you are. I've been looking everywhere for you. I'm afraid I have bad news for you, Renaud.
Ralph?
My diagnosis was correct. Pernicious anemia.
Dead.
What is that you are carrying, Mr. Spade?
Oh, nothing special, Doctor. Just an old Geiger counter.
Renaud, did you let him take it?
He said he was going to use it to find Ralph's medicine.
What happened to Ralph's medicine?
I don't know. It's just gone.
Mr. Spade, that machinery is my property. I must ask you to hand it over.
No gun necessary, Doctor. Here, take it.
Take your gun, too, sir. Then I'll carry the machine this way. Walk ahead of us. First, we try the conservatory.
He was an amateur with a gun, but I didn't jump him for it because I'm an amateur with a Geiger. I did notice that the indicator on the dial got nervous the minute we walked into the conservatory. Ralph Raven's body was still in the wheelchair, no paler in death than in life. His sightless eyes were fixed on that obscene plant. The plant looked sick, too. It was drooping, and his red mouth was hanging open. As we walked past the wheelchair, the indicator on the dial of the Geiger counter moved forward and then slipped back again. Then it took a sudden big jump.
Ah, so that was his hiding place. The moors, that disgusting carnivorous plant. Well, it's not pleasant, but there's only one way to get it. Don't move, either one of you. My eye is on you. Yes. Yes, it's here.
I thought the plant had bitten him. But then he pulled his hand out and I saw what had happened. There was a hypodermic outfit stuck in the heel of his hand. It surprised him no end, but he still managed to hold on to that gun. He swung it away from me and was holding it on Lenore.
You knew?
No. No, I didn't.
You must have. Ralph knew. He must have told you.
No, I swear he didn't.
What do you think I did this for? To die and leave you behind? To enjoy the money I got for you? No. You will come with me.
Oh, no, you don't know what you're doing. There's someone
waiting. Shut
up. What are you looking at? What's behind me? Don't bother rushing, Sam. I've got it.
Hold it, Bill.
Yeah. How's that for shooting, Sam?
Yeah. You find a bullet hole in him, Bill, and I'll call it good. And that, Deputy Deer, is the crop. And it's all carnivorous. In case you're still wondering what dropped him when your shots missed, it was the poison in that hypodermic needle which Ralph had planted there for that very purpose and then baited the trap of the all-important missing medicine. Later on, I learned that what the doctor had been feeding him was the right medicine for what ailed him, an isotope of iodine. It seems it's radioactive like uranium, but if you take too much of it, you die. Not of poisoning, but of pernicious anemia, which is how the doctor planned for Ralph to die. It also magnetizes watches so they don't keep the right time. And if they're cheap ones like mine, they may stop altogether. Period and a report. Got all that, Buffy?
I got it, Sam. But I don't get it.
Buffy, people have studied all their lives to learn about atomic stuff like isotopes, and you expect me to teach you everything in one easy lesson.
Oh, no, Sam, I know about that. But who killed who?
Whom, dear? The doctor killed everyone, but Ralph loaded the needle.
And they were accomplices?
No, Buff, get this. It's real shallow. Ralph knew there was no way in the world to prove that the doctor was killing him and hastening his aunt's demise, so he saw to it that she got a dose of detectable poison and did himself the same favor.
Oh.
Now, like a good girl, go type that up,
And now, listen to this.
And it's...
And I certainly hope that butler was brought to justice.
What for? His dialect?
Oh, for helping to deliver the threatening letters and then stealing off the occasional table.
A brilliant deduction. How did you deduce?
Sam, that's the kid. If Ralph was too ill to walk, then somebody had to push him upstairs in the wheelchair.
Now, wouldn't it have been easier just to carry him?
That's how he did it?
Or just go up himself?
That's how.
Possibly, and then again, we may never know. But do we care?
Yes. I hate loose ends, Sam.
Then keep it up.
Good night, Sam.
Looking like a true Perrine, so I'll say to you, good night, sweetheart.